morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Miller has chosen for his sermon topic, Love Him or Hate Him, based on Amos chapter 5, verse 10. Mrs. Judy Tupel will be at the piano this morning and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
God with the order of service on page 151, and we begin our worship with hymn number 519. We stand as we begin our worship on page 151. We confess our sins to God and hear His good word of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're invited now to turn to Psalm 90 in the front of our hymnal, and we will read the verses 12 through 17, and we will read them together. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend.
This sound is processed by StereoTool. Go to stereotool.com.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection she may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. On this 21st Sunday after Pentecost, as we continue to approach the end of the church year, we'll listen to God's word, first of all, from the Old Testament reading, from the Old Testament prophet Amos in chapter 5. Now, Amos the prophet has spoken to the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, that soon enemy armies are going to come in and destroy them if they don't turn back to God as a nation. And the people aren't really paying much attention to what Amos has to say. And Amos gives them both a warning and also a word of promise as he gets into his prophecy in Amos chapter 5. And we read verses 6 and 7 and also 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy at the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson from the letter to the Hebrew Christians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for our Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And this is the gospel of our Lord. And we confess together our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we continue now by singing verse 1 of hymn number 594. And as you do that, the children are invited to come forward during the singing of the hymn. You may be seated. My children once upon a time were this age, and I'm gonna kind of make a confession today. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to confess our sins when we come to church. So I used to give my kids treasure. They were so excited. I would make them very, very happy, and I'm gonna try to do that today. So what I do when I was when my kids were younger is I would get the mail, and I used to get a lot of junk mail. I don't know. Do you guys get junk mail? So I'd get a lot of junk mail, and I'd get the mail, and my kids would always say, "Is there anything for me?" And so I would hand them out all my junk mail. I would each give them each something. Oh, they were so excited. They'd open them up, and they would look at them, and they would, and I would tell them it was mail for them, and they would be so excited about it. And I was thinking about treasure today, and I have some junk mail with me. I'm going to give you guys some treasure today. And when I was thinking about it, I thought I was really deceitful and terrible of me, wasn't it? Of course, my kids remember that today, and they say, "You know, you couldn't trick us that way." And I tell my children, "Well, when I die, you can have everything I own." And they're not sure they'll be so excited about that either. If that day happens here soon. So, man, I got some stuff here. I get these a lot. I get different kind of junk mail. I like colorful junk mail. So I'm going to let you guys share that one. That's your treasure. Can you hold that? Okay. You can have that too. It's a good way for me to get rid of my stuff. Oh, hell, here's one. This one's pretty good. You guys can share that one. You can look at that. It works better if they can't read, but... And you can have that. I know you'll be real excited about that one. And then they got some more... This is a good one. This one would have been, you know, these things would have been wonderful. They got all kind of stuff in here. See, you can have that. You want one? Which color do you want? Purple, blue, red? See, that's, you guys want to share that one? That one's blue. You can have that one's purple. And, oh, I hate to leave people out. This is, This is a bill. Here, you can have that one. You want to take that? And then I got this. Wow, you can have this whole thing. And I just got rid of all my junk mail in one bill. And in the process, they all, you know, my kids always thought they had treasure. They'd take them home, you know, they'd show mom and she'd roll her eyes and stuff like that. And the same thing's true when we're done. We're going to each get a piece of candy. And I'm not sure that, you know, when kids grow up or when you grow up, you probably wouldn't be as excited as kids do. You know, if you give them the treasure of junk mail, you probably wouldn't be as excited about me giving you that as possible. So we're going to talk about treasure today, because treasure is really understanding what someone gives you that is really valuable. And I know that the kind of treasure that I want now isn't really junk mail anymore. This is a good way for me to get rid of all my junk mail and my bills, too. I do want her to take those home, and whoever... whoever gets her in the end, yeah, you can have that. Yeah. Oh, you already do. Okay, that's good. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's my daughter's dentist bill. I don't think it's too much. Insurance covered some of it. I didn't even look at it yet. Treasure is really understanding what's valuable to you and what you get. I think of the treasures that I got when I was younger. Some of the best gifts I ever got were from children. They'd come home from school, they'd be so proud of something they had made. Do you guys ever make stuff for your parents in school or for your moms? Oh my goodness, my mother would get, or my wife would get Mother's Day cards from the kids, and you know, it would be really valuable. I remember my daughter came home one time with a Christmas ornament. She had spent hours making it at school, and when we opened it and took it out of the box, she held it up and she was so proud of it, and she dropped it and it broke. And she cried and cried and cried, and we told her that we really, really, really loved it. What is your treasure? That's going to be the question for the day, because it really is the question in our scripture readings. What is it that you value? What do you think that is your treasure? And if you could have anything you wanted, what would it be? And that's really the question for our hearts, and not only for us as grown-ups, but for you as kids. Because believe it or not, there's something even better than junk mail, and there's even something better than candy that you can get as a treasure, and that is Jesus. We're going to talk about the treasure of Jesus today. So I'm going to let you guys take all of that. I'll take that bill. I'm sorry about that. That was a bad trick, wasn't it? And then I'll also let you take a treasure, a piece of candy as you go back to your seats. And I believe our next hymn is hymn number 712. And we'll join in singing hymn number 712 as we prepare to hear God's word. So you guys can leave. heads for prayer. Lord, give us a treasure that we find in Jesus Christ, all that we could ever be and the joy we want forever. Come, because you have taken us and made us into the children you want us to become. Help us find every blessing that you hand to us through your word this day. Amen. I'm going to start out by talking about a word of God from Amos chapter 5, verse 10, which the scriptures indicate is pointing ahead to Jesus. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. An interesting passage that somebody's going to come along and tell you the truth, and you're not going to want to hear it. And that's really fulfilled in a way in the gospel lesson for today, in the story of Jesus. And I also refer you to Mark chapter 10, where a man came up to Jesus while he was traveling on his journeys and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What about the commandments? You know what they are?" And he says, "Yeah, I know all the commandments, and I've kept them all since I was a kid. What more must I do than that?" And Jesus said, "One more thing. Sell everything you have, give it all away, and then come and follow me." And the man went away sad because he was very wealthy and had a lot of possessions. I'd like to talk about this man and this scripture reading for today, because this man started out really loving Jesus. He wanted to follow him. He wanted to get some affirmation from him. He thought Jesus was a pretty good guy, but he went away sad at the end. And I don't know if he literally hated Jesus, but he didn't really like what he had to say when Jesus said, "You have to give away everything you have, all your possessions, in order to follow me." Because Jesus knew in his heart that the guy couldn't do it. And Jesus wanted to make a point to this man that you can't inherit the eternal life. You can't give away enough or do enough to inherit eternal life. But Jesus didn't tell him that because Jesus hated him or despised this man. It says that Jesus loved him and he had compassion on him. And we don't know what became of this man afterwards. We hope that this man came to the realization that he couldn't do enough or give away enough to inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody had to do something for him. Jesus goes on in this passage to tell a parable. And I'd like to kind of move into that parable because it's kind of important. It's not part of our scripture readings for today, but the parable was that Jesus said a man was out in a field and it didn't belong to him, it belonged to somebody else. It'd be like maybe a farmer who was renting some land, and as he was plowing the field, he came across something in the field, and he dug it up, and it was a treasure worth a lot of money. And the man wanted it, and he went out and he sold everything he had, Jesus said, so that he could buy this field and have that treasure. He gave away everything he had so he could have the treasure. When Jesus told the parable, he really was telling the parable about himself. In fact, every parable that Jesus told was ultimately about himself. When you discover what Jesus is saying about himself in the parables, then the parables open up to a whole new meaning. What was Jesus saying about the treasure, and what was he saying about giving up everything to get the treasure? Well, what we must know at the beginning is what the treasure is. And the treasure isn't junk mail, and the treasure isn't candy, and the treasure is not money or valuable things. I always love the stories in the news about guys who find treasure in boats that are sunk down in the bottom of the sea. If you ever read about these treasure hunters, you'll find out that they do this professionally. They have all the equipment to dive down and find shipwrecks and look for treasure. You always hear the stories of when they discover something that has a lot of value, but you don't hear about the many, many times they dive down and find not much of anything down there. They fail a lot more times than they succeed. But every once in a while, they go down and they find gold bars or gold coins or something that is very valuable or a very famous shipwreck. And when they bring the things up, they're very, very wealthy. A lot of times, as soon as they find the treasure, a lot of people are celebrating and they love these guys. They think it's great. But there's also people who hate them and they sue them and try to say they have claim to these things. Most of these treasure hunters who are professional have a whole bunch of lawyers that work for them. Because as soon as they obtain a lot of value, a lot of people want it and they fight them for it. What is the treasure in Scripture that Jesus always talks about? The treasure is in the book of Hebrews as well. God treasures something. What is it that is the great treasure? I think sometimes we, like this man that Jesus was talking to, who was so disappointed when he left because he couldn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. I think sometimes when Amos talks about, there's people who are going to tell you the truth and you're not going to understand it and you're not going to like the guy. What is it about the treasure? And I really think the whole key to our Christian faith is tied up in what the treasure is. Because we tend to think of the treasure as some stuff that we get. And I do that too. I want my treasure to be eternal life. I want my treasure to be blessings in this life. I want to think of my treasure that God gives me as blessings that he gives me. And my tendency is to think that he gives me blessings because I'm such a wonderful guy. After all, I'm a pastor. I remember when I was younger, I thought I wanted to be a pastor because God surely would love pastors more than everybody else and give them more blessings. And then I'd automatically go to heaven. I thought that when I was a kid. Because I thought of the treasure, and I still tend to think of the treasure as stuff that I get. Treasure isn't anything you get. Jesus, when he talks about the treasure, he's not talking about anything you get at all. And that's really the key to understanding both this story and also the entire scripture. Because when Jesus talks about the treasure, he's talking about you. He's talking about the treasure that he wants. He's talking about the treasure that he wants to get, and it's you. It flips everything upside down for my Christian life when I understand that the treasure Jesus talks about all the time is my life and my soul. That's the treasure God wants to have. I am the treasure. That's really hard for me to put my head around because I don't know why God would want me for a treasure. Am I that valuable? Am I that important? Am I that great? And the answer is no. But God doesn't want me because I'm so great. He wants me just because he chooses me. He wants me because Jesus has bought and paid for my life with his blood and made me worth something. I'm the treasure. And when Jesus tells the parable later about going out and finding a field and finding a treasure and giving up all that he has so he can have this treasure, he's talking about himself. Giving up his own life, giving up the suffering and death that we deserve on a cross so that he could buy us back and he could have our life as a treasure. The story about that Amos tells about loving and hating someone, especially hating the person who tells the truth, is really about himself as well. Jesus comes to you today and he says, I love you, just as he loved this man in the gospel lesson for today. And we come to Jesus and say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus literally tells us, you not only don't have to do anything, but you can't do anything. And we, at the beginning of our service, say, what are we going to do? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. If there's nothing we can do, how can we be saved? And he says, I can save you. I am your Savior. I want to buy you back from the dead. I want to pay for all your sins. And I want to give you eternal life. You can't do anything to inherit eternal life. He was telling this man in the gospel lesson for today. I have to do it for you. If you believe that, then you will learn to love the Savior because you will understand that he loves you and you are his treasure and he wants to make you worth everything. But if you don't understand that and you want to have a treasure and earn a treasure, then you're not going to really like what Jesus has to say. Because Jesus is telling you that you need him. You have to have him. In a sense, he is our priceless treasure because he makes us worth something. And so Jesus Christ came to earth, and he did something that was impossible for us. He came to empty himself on a cross and rise to a greater life. The letter to the Hebrews that we just read says that he was found worthy of greater honor than anyone who had ever lived in the history of the world. And he chooses to give all of the treasure of this world and of eternity to you and me. What was impossible for us to get through anything we can do on this earth, it is possible with God. And only when Jesus finds us, and only when Jesus makes us understand that we are the treasure that he loves so very much, will we lift up our faces and come to him and love the one who says the truth. In the gospel lesson, what happened when the man realized that he couldn't inherit eternal life by anything he could do? His face fell and he went away from Jesus, feeling very sad. God doesn't want your face to fall and for you to leave feeling very sad today. He wants you to lift up your faces to him and to open up your hands and say, Lord, thank you for making me your treasure. Thank you for loving me so much that you would buy my life back from the dead and forgive all my sins by your blood on the cross. We thank our God that he made it possible for us to inherit eternal life. The last thing I want to say is about inheritance. You know, we've talked to our kids about inheritance before. Our kids don't want the inheritance of junk mail anymore. My kids, you know, they would like some real inheritance. Now, we've told our kids that they're going to have everything we have, and they're not sure that that's really worth a lot yet, but it's a thought that counts, maybe. But we've told our kids they have it. And one time we were talking about it, we said, we're going to give you inheritance based on what you deserve. And that got a good conversation among my four children. Because some of them think that they would deserve more than others. But the truth is, and the thing they understand, is inheritance isn't based on anything you deserve anyway. It's just a gift. It's just given to you out of love from the person who is the one who bequeaths it to you. Not too long ago, I got a letter in the mail with a check. I'm not going to tell you how much it was. And it was from an uncle of my mother who passed away. And it was from a law office who was the trustee for this uncle of my mother who had passed away. And my mother has passed away. And by virtue of his will, he had willed everything to his nieces and nephews. And if they had passed away, the nieces and nephews, it would go to their children. And so I got a check quite unexpectedly. I had met this uncle one time in my whole life. I don't even know that he knows where I am or who I am. I don't even know how they found me. I didn't deserve it. And my mother probably didn't deserve it either. But he allowed that to happen. And he said in his will he wanted people to use it for something that would help others. God comes to you today and he says, you know what? You're my treasure. I love you so very much. I sent Jesus to buy your life back from the dead. Each and every one of you, no matter how old you are or what your station in life is, God thinks of you as his treasure. That is very humbling. It's humbling to me that God would love me so much that Jesus would come and sell everything he has, his whole life, so that he could have me. Jesus says, you're either going to love me or hate me, just as the scripture said, because I'm telling you the truth, that only God can save your life. And if you believe that, then you will love the Lord Jesus Christ. And your whole life will be different because you understand that you're a treasure and God wants to use you in some great way today and tomorrow and the rest of your life on earth and even for all eternity in heaven. What must I do to inherit eternal life, said the man to Jesus. And Jesus said, nothing. I have to do something for you, and I will make you my eternal treasure. And you are. And God loves you. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as we return thanks to God with our offerings this day, we join together in singing hymn number 806. We stand for prayer. Lord God, we do give thanks to you, and we ask you to accept our offerings, our worship, our praises, and our thankful hearts this day as we share them with one another and as we listen to your word with great joy, understanding that we are your treasure, and you sent Jesus into the world to buy the world back from sin and from death and the devil, so that you could have us for all eternity. As we humbly come before you now, we ask you to help us live as your treasure with the joy and the thanksgiving that there is nothing we can do or we must do to inherit eternal life. You have already given that to us as a gift, and you have already bought and paid for our life with Jesus' blood on the cross. We thank you for this, and we ask you to be with all those in our thoughts and hearts this day, with those in our congregation who are going through difficulties and struggles of body or soul. We thank you for the memory of faith for all the saints who have gone before us. We especially ask you to be with the family of John Hink as they remember their loved one's passing. We ask you to give them comfort and give us all a realization that we inherit eternal life after this life because of what Jesus has done for him and for all of our loved ones and for us as well. Continue to bless this congregation as they go through the call process and as they continue to consider their future and their future shepherd. Be with them and be with the man that they will call, that you will bring them together according to your good and gracious will. For these things and for all others, we join our hearts and our voices together in prayer, as Jesus himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And go now with the good word of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And we join together in our closing hymn, number 729. You may be seated.